Don Panwick, in his Lion Man state, growled suggestively. Grant Kavanagh twitched as the big yellow beast dropped onto all fours and padded over to him, tail whisking about. "We captured his troops," Chen Tambai informed Edmund quietly. "They were about the last militia roaming free, inflicted heavy casualties. 8 of us winged back to the beyond." The dapper Oriental, in ancient black and orange silks, cocked his head grudgingly towards Grant Kavanagh. "He's a good leader."
"Is that so?" Edmund Rigby asked.
Ichabod Geertz licked his lips with a long yellow tongue.
"It doesn't make any difference in the end. He's ours now, to do with as we like. And we know what we like."
Grant Kavanagh looked up at him, one eye swollen shut.
"When this is over, you mincing shit, and the rest of your friends have been shot, I will take a great deal of pleasure in ripping every one of your deviant chromosomes from your body with my own hands."
"Now there's a man's man, if ever I saw one," Ichabod Geertz said, putting on a histrionically effeminate tone.
"Enough," Edmund Rigby said. "You put up a good fight," he told Grant. "Now it's over." "Like hell, if you think I'm going to let you fascist scum take over the planet my ancestors sweated blood to build, you don't know me."
"Nor shall we ever," Edmund Rigby said. "Not now."
"That's right, takes bloody four of you," Grant Kavanagh grunted in shock, as Don Padwick put a paw on his ribs, talons extended.
Edmund Rigby rested his hand on Grant's head. There was so much resilience and anger in the man, it enervated him, sending the pretentious uniform shimmering back into his ordinary marine fatigues. The souls of the beyond were clamouring as he began to gather his power, flocking to the beacon of his strength.
"Don't fight me," he said, more in hope than in expectation.
Grant snarled.
"Screw you!"
Edmund Rigby heard the vile, rapturous, imploring chorus of the soul's beginning. Weariness engulfed him. There had been so much of this since he had returned, so much pain and torment so wilfully inflicted. At first he had laughed and enjoyed the fear. Now he simply wished it over. He hesitated, and a captive soul stirred in the prison he had forged for it within his own mind. "There are ways," the other soul said, and showed, obedient as always to his captor. "Ways to make Grant Kavanagh submit quickly, ways no flesh can withstand for long." And the desire was there, oozing up out of the prison, corrupt and nauseous.
"But it's a part of all of us," the other soul whispered quickly. "We all share the shame of having the serpent beast in our secret heart of hearts. How else could you have accomplished what you have, the way you have, if you did not let it free?"
Trembling, Edmund Rigby let the desire rise, let it supersede the loathing and revulsion that was his own. Then it was easy, easy to make Grant hurt, easy to commit the profanities which quietened his lieutenants, easy to feel the desire and go on feeding. It was good, because it was freedom, complete and utter freedom. Desire ruled as it should, unrestrained. It nurtured the psyche, these heinous abominations Grant Kavanagh was forced to endure. They were sublime. Ichabod Geertz and Chen Tambaya were yelling at him to stop, but they were nothing, less than dirt. The souls were in retreat, fearing what was leaking from him into the beyond.
"Weak, they are all weaker than us. Together we surpass them all."
Was that his own voice? And still the savagery went on. It was impossible to stop. The other soul had gone too far. It had to be seen through now, to the terrible end. Edmund Rigby rebelled in horror.
"But you did it yourself," the captive soul said.
"No, it was you. I only showed you how. You wanted it. The desire was yours, the yearning."
"Never. Not for this."
"Yes, you gave way to yourself for the first time. The serpent beast is in all of us. Embrace it and be at peace with yourself. Know yourself."
"I am not that. I am not."
"But you are. Look, look."
"No."
Edmund Rigby shrank from what he had done, fleeing, hurtling away as though speed alone was proof of his innocence. Locking out the world and what he had been a party to, down in that empty vault, waiting at the centre of his mind, where it was quiet and dark and tasteless, sanctuary without form, it hardened around him.
and there you will stay, a part of me, forever.